Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin on the base at the bottom of the Omen at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Achos Emeris Mace. We have two women married to one man. And when we have two women married to one man, obviously we have a situation of Tzoros. And as we discussed in our previous Shi'ur, a Tzora is not believed to say testimony regarding the other woman that affects the other woman. So here we have the following situation, says the Mishnah. Achsameris Mace, one of the tzaras says that the husband died, Achsameris Loimace, and one says that he did not pass away. Says the Mishnah, Zusha Meris Mace, the one that said that he's not alive, Tinosei, she could get married, as we have learned consistently throughout this Masechta. A woman could get remarried based on her own testimony. So here, where she offered testimony that a husband passed away, she's allowed to get married. And not only is she allowed to get married, but as we discussed previously, she's entitled to titel ksubasa, to receive her ksuba payment. Vizush shemeres loimeis, and the one that says that her husband did not die, loitinase, may not get remarried, and obviously with loititla ksubasa, she's not entitled to a ksuba payment. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though we have a woman claiming that the husband is alive, it doesn't make a difference. As if a wife is believed to say her husband is no longer alive, makes no difference what somebody else is saying. Says the Mishnah, however, achsameris mace, one says that he died of achsameris Nereg, and the other wife says that he was killed. Here we have a situation where there's definitely somebody saying something that's not true. Hare elu yunasu. The halacha is that they can't, neither of them can't get married. They're all agreeing. Shein kayim, that this husband is no longer alive. They both could get married. Because there's no question that this is not an issue, because they're both admitting, they're both actually agreeing that the husband is alive. So the way the Rishonim explain the machloikus here is, the question is, when women say testimony, is drisha v'chakira. As the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us very extensively, that when edus is offered, drisha v'chakira, a total investigation into the truth of what they're saying is required. Rameya holds like Rabbanan, that Rabeya holds like Rav Tarfin, that in such a case, drisha v'chakira is required. And since drisha v'chakira is required, and when the two Edim, as we just said, are disputing each other, since the two Edim are disputing each other, they cancel each other out. Rabbi Yehuda holds that this is not considered a case of Dina Nefashis. By Dina Nefashis, there's a requirement of Drisha V'Chakira. This is considered like Dina Mominus. And by Dina Mominus, no Drisha V'Chakira is required. And therefore, even though these two women are saying different, very different stories, it doesn't affect the halacha. The Trumas Hadeshin says that this machlokes that we have in the Mishnah is in a case of tzaras, but in a case of the other women that we spoke about in the previous year, there aren't belief about the life or death of the husband, this halacha doesn't apply. The Nida Behuda disagrees, and it says this halacha applies whether it's with the tzaras, as we've been discussing in our shir, or any of the other women that were mentioned in our previous shir that are not to be trusted. I'm a mace. One aid says that the husband died, and before we could even say, based on his testimony, that we could allow the wife to get remarried, aid I'm a loimace. Another aid comes and says that the husband did not die. Or Isha Meris Mace, there's one woman that says that this husband died, Visha, and there's another woman that says Loimace. Harezuloy to not say, under these circumstances, she may not get remarried because there's one against one of these cases. This interesting question, that here we're learning that one aid is not acceptable. And when we're talking about one aid, as we discussed in previous shurim, if we have one aid against another aid, before Beis Din issued a right for the woman to get married, they sort of cancel each other out. What would be the halacha that we have a situation that one aid and a woman, will that be considered as if we have saying that he's dead, and one aid by himself saying that he's not alive, that he's alive. Will that be considered as if it's two against one or not? So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger that whenever we're dealing with this type of situation, as we discussed in our previous year, we go with the majority opinion, as we learned, Roiv Deis. And this is going to be considered a situation of Roiv Deis. Says the Gemara, we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, one woman says that her husband is no longer alive, and one says that he is alive. So the halacha is the one that says he's alive could get married based on her testimony, as we've been discussing throughout this Masechta. And the one that says he's not alive may not get remarried. Says the Gemara, Tama, the reason the second one can't get married, it seems, is because the Omra Loimeis, because she's saying that her husband is alive. Her Ishtaka, but if she wouldn't have said anything, it seems from our Mishnah that Tinase, that she would be allowed to get married based on the testimony of a Tzara. But ask the Gemara, how can we suggest this? Ha, ain't Tzara mi'idal chaverta? Haven't we learned that a Tzara is never believed? So the Shvus Yaakov and the Beis Yitzchak use this Gemara to prove a point. In Halacha, there's a concept of Masich Lefi Tumay. The concept of Masich Lefi Tumay teaches us that if somebody said something without the intent of offering testimony, they just said it, but based on what they said, the halacha, there will be a certain halachic situation. So Masich Lefi Tumay, many times, the halacha is regarding kashrus, the people who may not normally be trusted in Hilchas Kashrus. If it's Masich Lefi Tumay, then Neman. Say the Shvus Yaakov and the Beis Yitzchak, the fact that our Gemara did not explain that we're speaking here about a situation of Masich Lefi Tumay regarding the issues that we've been discussing so extensively in our Shiurim about accepting the testimony that the husband is not alive, we're not alive, we can't rely on a Masich Lefi Tumay. Because if we could, the Gemara would have given that teretz. So again, the Gemara goes back, that it seems from our Mishnah, the reason the wife may not get remarried is because she's saying that my husband is alive. It seems, had she said nothing, and the other wife said that my husband is dead, she would be believed. But ask the Gemara, why is that? Didn't we learn in Ein Tzara Me'idel Chaverta, the one wife cannot say edus that affects to the other wife? Says the Gemara, the Loimeis Itzruchalei. The truth of the matter is that even if she wouldn't have said anything, she would not be believed based on the testimony of a Tzara. But the Mishnah specifically spoke about a case of Loimeis, so then the Mishnah could have taught us a bigger chiddush. Even if she says nothing, she can't get remarried. Certainly if she says, my husband is not dead, she can't get married. Says the Gemara, we could maybe say the following chiddush. Sakadat Chemina Hamayis, that maybe the husband is dead, because if he weren't dead, she would have remained silent. Because by remaining silent, her co-wife, her tzara, who, as we discussed, is a woman whom she doesn't like, would have gone and gotten remarried, and then she won't be able to go back to her husband. It must be, if she says that Loimeis, when she says that he didn't die, for her to come Loimeis, Why did she say he didn't die? L'kalkala tzura hu d'mechavna. Because she doesn't want her tzara to get remarried. And again, this discord that exists between these two wives is so strong that she knows her husband is dead. And the tzara, and the other woman knows the husband is dead. But she's going to say, my husband's not dead. In order, she thinks, to prevent the tzara from getting remarried and remaining in an aguna. And I, by saying that her husband's not alive, she hurts herself as well. Says the Gemara, there's a concept of Thomas Nafshi Plishtim. When Shimshon tore down the building in which the Plishtim were, it caused him to die as well. But he was prepared to suffer if they would suffer. And here too, she's prepared to say that her husband is not alive because like that she thinks she'll be able to harm her tzara. Kamash Malan, that the halach is the one who said he's dead may get remarried, and the one that said he's alive cannot get married. Achas Ameris Meis, the Mishnah continued, said, if one said that he's dead and one said that he was killed, so Ramey said that this is a situation that they're contradicting each other. Since the two Edom are contradicting each other, neither could get remarried. So we see here, points out the Gemara, that the testimony of one tzara could affect the other tzara. So ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the halacha, so why in the first case of the Mishnah, where one tzara said that he's dead, and once Sarah said he's not dead, don't we say the same halacha? Says the Gemara, Amar Belazav Machlak Yishnoi V'Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimoni. The first case of the Mishnah only followed the opinion of Yehuda Rav Shimon. Indeed, according to Ramea, these two women, one saying he's dead and one saying he's alive, are contradicting each other. And like Ramea said in the second case of the Mishnah, they would say so in the first case of the Mishnah that they cancel each other out. Rabbi Yochanan Mafil Tamer Rameya. We could say that the Reishas, even in the Reish of our Mishnah, Rameya would agree. But ha, Afil Rameya Moida. In that case, where one wife says that he's dead and one wife says he's alive, one does not have the ability to hurt the other one. Why? The Kol Loi Meis Beisha Lavachasahu. When one says he died naturally and one side he was killed, so then they're contradicting each other. But in a situation that she says, doesn't say the detail, she just says he's not dead, there we have to be concerned, explained the Rishonim, that the only reason she's saying is not dead, as we said a moment ago, she wants just to hurt the co-wife. And she makes a declaration. The husband's not dead, knowing by making that declaration, her co-wife will not be able to get remarried. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, the Mishnah says, Eidah Mimeis, Eidah Miloy Meis. One Eid says that the husband's dead, and one says he's not dead. Isha Meris Meis, Isha Meris Loy Meis. That it seems that even it's a tzara, Harez Loy Tanasai. So Bishlam Lor Abelazar, according to Abelazar, that Mishnah could be following the opinion of Ramea. And Ramea says that whenever the two wives contradict each other, they cancel each other out. And that's why, Eich Ella, that's why, Isha Meris Meis, Isha Meris Loi Meis, that neither can get married. Ella Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan says, according to a mayor, only when there are different details to their story are they considered that they're contradicting each other and canceling each other out. But if one says Meis, one says Loi Meis, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even Rameyer would agree that the one that says Meis can get remarried, Kasha. How will he be able to explain? And the Gemara indeed remains with a kash on this question. It's very interesting. The Rosh points out that even though the Gemara says there's a kash on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan, and the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan, that if they're contradicting each other with the details, that's when we don't believe them. But if they're not contradicting each other with details, just one says Meis and one says Loi Meis, we don't pay attention one to the other. Says the Mishnah, Ish Shalchi Balam Medinas Hayom. A woman who went off to Medinas Yam, she and her husband, above Amar Meis Bali. And she comes back with a report that her husband died. So the halacha is, as we've been learning throughout, that a woman is believed to say her husband is not alive, and based on her testimony, to not say v'titah k'suba, so she can get remarried and get a k'suba. V'tzarasa asura, but that testimony cannot help for tzara, as we learn over and over. One tzara's testimony cannot be effective for the other tzara. Haisa, so if this tzara was a bas yisrael l'kayin, a bas yisrael was married to kayin, the halach is toich b'truma. She's considered that her husband is alive, and as long as her husband's alive, she's allowed to eat truma. Divrei Reb Tarfin, Kivayma, Ein Zu Derech Metzias Medei Aveira. This is not the proper way how to save a person from doing an Aveira. Because Shetei Esur Li Nasei, that we, and therefore it says, at Shetei Esur Li Nasei, Esur Malach L'Truma, that even though we're not trusting the Tzara to allow her to eat Truma, to get remarried based on the testimony of a Tzara, but she may not eat truma either. Amra, says the Mishnah, if she said, Meis Bali, that my husband died, and then she says, Meis Chamei. And then, this we're talking about the aedus of a daughter-in-law. Amra Meis Bali, first she says, my husband died, Vakach Meis Chamei, and then my father-in-law died. So the halacha is tinasei, she get remarried based on her testimony. V'titah k'suba, and she's entitled to k'suba, as we keep on repeating, she's entitled to k'suba whenever she offers to get remarried and get a k'suba based on her testimony. V'chamaisa sura, but her mother-in-law may not get remarried, because her mother-in-law cannot get remarried based on the testimony of a daughter-in-law. Haisa Bas Yisrael Kayin. If the mother-in-law was a woman who was a Bas Yisrael married to a Kayin, Shtaychav Truma Divrei Reb Tarfin, they consider completely married. Kivayma Einza Derech Metzima De'Aveira. It's not the way to go. Achtei Asur Linasei. The halacha is she can't get married because she cannot rely on the testimony of her daughter-in-law. But on the other hand, Asur Malachav Truma, we can't let her eat. We can't let her eat Truma. The Mishnah Melech has a question: if what will be the halacha where one wife said the husband is dead, and then the second wife was saying is still considered married, and she now has an adulterous relationship, will she be considered like an Eishes Ish who had an adulterous relationship? So the Mishnah Melech at first glance says that this is really the machlokes of Rekiva and Tarfin. Reb Tarfin, who says that she's allowed to continue eating truma, says the halacha looks at her as a full-fledged eishes ish. And therefore, since the halacha looks at her as a full-fledged eishes ish, if she has an adulterous relationship, she would be chayiv misa. On the other hand, according to Bekiva, who is sort of not 100% sure, and he says that even though she may not get remarried, she may not eat truma, so we have a suffix. Maybe she's not an Eishes Ish, and we wouldn't be ready to give a Misa if she had an adulterous relationship. However, the Tosfos HaRosh disagrees. And the Tosfos HaRosh says that the reason she's not allowed to eat Truma is because if we allow the first wife to get remarried and then allow the second wife to eat Truma, that's too difficult to understand. That on one hand, we're considering him certainly not alive to the degree that we're letting his wife get remarried. And then to allow the tzara to eat truma, Rabbi Kiva finds that difficult to accept. But Rabbi Kiva says that Tosfos HaRosh agrees that she is an Eishes Ish. And since Rabbi Kiva agrees that she is an Eishes Ish, therefore, even Rabbi Kiva, according to Tosfos HaRosh, says that if she would have an adulterous relationship, she would be chayiv misa. Says the Gemara. V'tzricha. We had the same machlokes in the Mishnah when the testimony was a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, or when it was tzaris. Why do we have to have the machlokes with both situations? Says the Gemara, if we only had the machlokes by the case of a tzara, there we would say, how come Rav Tarfin That's why she's allowed to eat truma. Mishum the tzara the guf. Because a tzara dislikes a tzara very much. Why does a tzara dislike a tzara very much? Because she takes away from the husband's attention. And therefore she's prepared to say something which is untrue just to harm her tzara. Aval chamoisoi, the tzara mil da alma, the dislike that exists between a daughter and a mother-in-law is not that severe. She just says things to bother her, but it's not that severe. Ema Maidele Rekiva, that we have to be concerned that maybe he's taken not alive. Vietnam Bahop, Bahkama Rekiva, if we only had the machlokes by a daughter-in-law, that's where Rekiva says maybe we have to be concerned that what she's saying is actually accurate. Al Bahach, by the case of a tzora, Ema Maidele Reb Tarfin, that we have no reason to believe the tzora at all. That's why Tzricha, the Mishnah, had to bring this machlokes between Reb Tarfin and Rekiva in both situations. That in both situations, each one of them holds their own opinion. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Reb Tarfin, the Halacha follows the opinion of Reb Tarfin, that she could eat truma. Amar Abaya, Afanan Namitanina. We have a Mishnah that backs up this halacha. The Mishnah we're going to have refers to a situation where a woman went with her husband to Medina Siyam and they didn't have children. And therefore this woman who has a chazaka that she has to have yibum when her husband dies. And she comes back and she says, Nitli ben de Medina Siyam, I did have a child in Medina Siyam. Meis b'ni, but my son, my child died, v'achach bali. The halacha is nemenis. The reason is that she's trusted, because she's just, what she's saying is following the chazaka that we knew all along, that she's going to have yibam. But if she says, bali v'achach b'ni, my husband died and then my son, so what she's saying is contrary to the chazaka that we know that she's chayiv yibum. Based on her testimony, she's not chayiv yibum. And we're concerned that she dislikes the yavim. And therefore she's saying it, even though it may not be true, ain't in a menace. But says the Mishnah, we still are somewhat concerned about what she says. Because she says that she had a son, and a son died after her husband, so she only is a candidate for chalitz of leimus yabemus. So we see, that for her words were chayshish, but what the tzara would say, that would affect her. The Mishnah seems to be teaching us, we don't pay any attention to what a tzara says that affects the other tzara, which is exactly Reb Tarfin's opinion, why the other tzara could continue eating truma, shmamina. Says the Gemara, Kiddush achs b'chamish nashim, if a man did kedushin with one or five women. Veni day is a kiddush, but he doesn't know which of those five women is his wife. Kolach Samaris Oisi Kiddush. And each one of them says that I am the one that he was Makadish. Noisa get the Kolach Svachas. The halacha is that he has to give a get to each one of them. Umnich Ksuba Beneim. And he leaves the Ksuba between all of them and Mistalik, and he leaves. So, of course, Rashi says, if he wants to marry all five, he has every right. We're talking about a case where, obviously, he doesn't want to marry all five. Furthermore, the Gemara Masechet Baba Metzia, Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, says, when the Gemara says, Menich Ksuba Beinei Mistalek, doesn't mean he just leaves the Ksuba money on the table and now let them fight it out. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara says what it means is that he holds on to the Ksuba money until it could be established who deserves that money. Divrei Reb Tarfin. That's not the right way to do, because he has a chiyuv to take care of every one of these women. Get the ksuba kolach svachas. Says the Gemara, another case. Gozel me'echad mechamisha. He stole from one of five people. He doesn't know from whom he stole. And each one claims that I was the victim. That's not the right way, ad shisham kol echad ve'echad, to make sure that the person from whom he stole from gets his money back. We know that kedushin can be affected by giving kesef or shtar, or kedushin can be affected by doing bia. Says the Gemara, kriyadish ketani, our Mishnah speaks about a case that he did kedushin not with bia. Bar like ketani, which seems to mean that if the kedushin were affected by bia, then everybody, Reb Tafan would agree with Reb Akiva. Gezel ketani, we speak about a case where he stole, lokach leitani, only in the case where he stole, that's where Reb Akiva says, since this man did an avera, and he now wants to make sure that he gets out of the avera that he did, so he has to pay to each one individually. But if he bought, so he didn't do any avera, he just doesn't know from whom he bought, then he wouldn't have to pay each one. So says the Gemara, Mani Masnisan, if that's the way to understand the Mishnah, ask the Gemara, then our Mishnah is not consistent, loy Tanakama, v'loy Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Not with the opinion of Tanakama, nor with the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya of Shimon ben Elazar Omer, loy nechku Reb Tavram Akiva, asher kiddush eches mechamis neishim, that he just did kedushin with kesef ashtar, v'eni day is a kiddush, and he doesn't know which one is that wife, that the aloch is, shemniach ksubim enayim mustalik. Aman nechku, al shabal, that he did bia. So he degraded her by doing bia. So Reb Tarfon Omer, that Reb Tarfon still says Meniach Ksuba by name Mustalik. Reb Akiva Omer, no, since he did something wrong, he did because he's not supposed to be Mekadosh with bia. Rav Mangid, Rav would give Malkus a man the Mekadosh for bia, and somebody does Kedushin that way. And that's Reb Akiva Omer, actually Shal Mekolachas V'achas. Lenechku, Reb Tarfon Akiva, El Shalokach Mecha Mechamisha Bnei Adam. When they bought, v'ani day meizim and lakach, he doesn't know from whom he bought. Shemaniach, v'ani mekach, v'ani mestalik. Anachku, shegozel, mechamisha, when he stole. Shom Reb Tarfon, that even in that case, Reb Tarfon says, maniach gezela, v'ani mestalik, just leave what was stolen and let them figure it out. Kivayma, at shisham gezela kolach v'echad. Says the Gemara, mid the coming of Shimon ben Elazar, the fact of Shimon ben Elazar made the following statement. The Bekidesh, where the Kedusha was not done with Bia. The Lokach, where it wasn't a situation of Gzela. It was a situation where he bought something, like Pligi. There's no Machlokes of Tafra and Akiva. And even Reb Akiva would agree that he doesn't have to pay to each one individually if there's no Aveira done, there was no Kedusha Bia, or there was no Gzela. Mechlal, it seems that the Tana Kama Sava, that the Tana Kama's opinion is that Pligi, that even in the case, that only in the case where no Averu was done, we're of a turf and hold, that you don't have to pay each one. So now ask the Gemara, Mani, who's going to be the Tana of our Mishnah? Mani, who's going to be the Tana of our Mishnah? E Tana Kama, that says that only in the case of Lokach, they argue, listen to Kiddush V'Lokach. So the Mishnah should have taught us the case of Kiddush, and Lokach, not Kiddush v'Gozal. Because according to him, Reb Tarfon agrees that by Gozal, you have to pay each one. Via of Shimon ben Elazar, and if the Tan of our Mishnah is going to be following the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar, listen to Bor v'Gozal. Why does the Mishnah have to talk about a case of Kiddush? Even by Bor, according to Shimon ben Elazar, does Reb Tarfon hold that you only leave the money and let them divide it? Says the Gemara, Lo'ilam, we're going to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. And when we say at the beginning of the Mishnah, Kiddush, we are not to understand Kiddush means that he did Kiddushin with Kesef or Shtar. Rather, we're going to understand that he did it with Bia. And in that case, Reb Tarfon still is lenient that he leaves the money, he leaves the Ksuba money between them and let them divide it. Says the Gemara, if that the Reish is talking about that he did an Aveira, why did the Tana have to bring the Sefer? If we already learned from the Reisha that he did Kiddush Bebiya, and still Reb Tarfon holds Meniach Ksuba, Menei Mestalik, why did we have to also teach the case of Gozal? Answers the Gemara, Tana Kiddush, L'diach Kech Reb Akiva, Davgav de Sur Drabaran Avet, being Mekanish Bebiya is the wrong thing, but it's only in Isser Drabaran. And since it's only Yisud Rabbanon, teaches us the Mishnah that still Rav Akiva says the knas, since he did the wrong thing, he has to give each one a ksuba separately. The Tana Gazel, and then we learn the Sefer, where he stole. Stealing is certainly a very serious avera. It's an issa deraisa, but the acha koicha de betarfin, the afgav the sur deraisa of it. Even though this person violated an issa deraisa of stealing, even though he did so, the halacha is that loikonis betarfin still doesn't give a knas. Says the Mishnah Ishachli Baal Medina Siyam. A woman went to Medina Siyam with her husband and with her son. And she comes back and she says, "Meis Baali, that my husband died, akach meis bani." And therefore, she's not obligated to have yibum. So the halacha is, says the Mishnah, namenis. Because since she had a chazaka that she doesn't have to have yibum, we continue with that chazaka. But if she says, "Meis bani, akach meis baali," ain't a namenis. Because we're concerned that she has a chazaka that she's not allowed to have yibum. We're concerned she said this because she wants to be able to marry her brother-in-law. But choshen l'dvareo, and therefore we don't let her have yibum, she's only a candidate for chalet shleimus yibemis. If she comes and says, nitin li ben b'mdinas yam, she left here without any children, but she says, I had children in b'mdinas yam, but she says, regarding that, that my children died before my husband. Namenis. She's believed. And the reason she's believed is because she didn't have to say anything. And had she not said anything, she has a chazakah that she has a chazakah that she doesn't have to have yibum. So that's why, since she says it, we believe her because she didn't have to say this at all. But if she says meis bali v'akach meis bani, and she says she has to have yibum, and she had a chazaka that she doesn't have to have yibum, so she's not in a menace. Because maybe she's just interested in marrying her brother-in-law. But says the Mishnah, to some degree, choshen shel devarel, that we don't let her have, even though we don't let her have yibum, cheletzes v'loy mis yibemes. Nitin liyobim b'din asiyam. A woman left here with the chazaka that she doesn't have children and her husband doesn't have brothers. And she comes back and says, "Nitin li yavam medina siyam." I had a brother-in-law in medina siyam, but she also says, "Mach mas bali bali vakach meis yivami." The first my husband died, and then my yivam died. Or she said, "Yivami vakach me bali namenis," because she's keeping the chazaka that was in place. The chazaka in place was that she's not going to have yibum, and that chazaka is continuing. But she went overseas with her husband and her brother-in-law. And she comes back and says, "Meis bali v'akach meis yami." Or she says, "Yivami v'akach bali." And by saying this testimony, by saying her brother-in-law is not alive, she had a chazaka that she's going to have yibum when her husband dies. And by offering this testimony, she's going contrary to that chazaka. And in the menace. Shein ish in the menace lemme meis yavami. She may not report that her brother-in-law died. She tinosei. Based on that, she should be able to get married. And the Rishonim explained that even though, as we keep on repeating, a woman is believed to say that her husband is dead, she's believed to say her husband is dead, but she's not believed to say that her brother-in-law, her yavam, is dead. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, we know that one may not marry a woman may not marry her sister's husband unless her sister passed away. So here she comes and says that her sister passed away, so that based on that testimony, she should be able to marry her brother-in-law. She's not believed to say that. The chazaka that she had, that she's not, she's not allowed to marry this man, the halacha is that that chazaka remains. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, ein ish nemeloyim meis achi, a man is not believed to say my brother died, that based on his testimony, yibam is ishto, that he could do yibam, and he's not believed to say meis isht, he's not believed to say his wife died in order Yisachoisoi, that he should be able to marry his wife. So we see that the only way he could believe could be a marry a sister, the Rambam says in Hilchos Yibum, Perek Gimel Halach Yud Aleph, is with two Edom. Only when there are two Edom, the Halach is that do we believe him. And actually, the Beis Shmuel in Simen Kuf Nun Ches Evan Ezer Sifkot Aleph has a very interesting question. Could somebody say that could an Eid Echad be Neman to say that somebody's wife died? So we're learning throughout this perek that Eid Echad is Neman to say that a husband died. But it could very well be, says the Beis Shmuel, that you can't believe an Eid Echad to say somebody's wife is dead. And the reason is because we live in a world of a Cherem Derbeinu Gershom, that a man is not allowed to have two wives. By this aid saying that this man's wife died, he's going to be allowed to marry another woman, which means he's coming to go against, contrary to the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, and that's why he's not believed. The Pesachei Tshuva, however, quotes Achronim that say that since this is a Milsa David L'Guya, if the testimony is being offered that the wife died, and based on that testimony, the husband should be allowed to get remarried. And then this is a testimony that he's careful to say the truth. Because if the husband shows up, it's a Milsa David L'Guya. And it'll be clear that he's said something that's not true. And that's why the Pesachei Tshuva quotes Achronim who disagree with the Beis Shmuel and says, just like an Eid Echad is neman to say that somebody's husband is dead, so too is an Eid Echad neman to say that somebody's wife is no longer alive. Begins the Gemara, Bamine Rava Mirav Nachman. Hamazaka Getl Ishtai. When we speak about in Halacha, if you could, and Halacha, the Halacha is you could appoint a Shliach to do something on your behalf. Could somebody do something on your behalf without you having been appointed to do that on his behalf? So there's a klal in Shas, Zoch L'Adam Shalai B'Fonav. If we're doing something for the favor of that individual, I don't need to be appointed for that purpose. But if it's what I'm doing is to his detriment, I can't do it. Zoch L'Adam Shalai B'Fonav, Vein Chavim L'Adam El B'Fonav, only with his extent, with his consent. So now the question is, somebody taking a get from a husband on behalf of a wife, under normal circumstances, that's a chayiv, that the wife should have to be divorced. And he cannot be the shliach to pick up the get on behalf of the wife unless the wife appointed him for that purpose. But now begins the Gemara. Somebody's picking up a get on behalf of the wife to prevent her from having yibam. Mahu. Do we consider that a schus? Kim the Samuelay. Normally, a woman doesn't like her brother-in-law to have to get married to him. So this is a schus. And as we just explained, Zochlan Shleim Befonov. Idilma, Kimin Dezemim Derachmelay. On the contrary, she does want to marry him. And since she wants to marry him, Chayvula, somebody taking the get on her behalf is to her detriment. And as we just said, Ein Chayvun Lodim Shleim Befonov. Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded, Tanina. We learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah spoke about a case where you have a woman who had a chazakah that she doesn't have to have yibum, and then she says that even though we don't believe her that she could have yibum, we do require her to have chalitza. And we don't say that she certainly lied because she loves the yavam. We see that it's not clear that she loves the Yavam. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues that we don't say for sure that she hates the Yavam. Because we learned further in the Mishnah that in a case where she has a chazaka, that she has to have Yibam, and now she says that she had a son, but her husband died before the son, we say that she still has to have chalitza. And the reason we say so is because we're concerned that she's saying it because she wants to get out of Yibam because she so dislikes a Yavam. So we see from our Gemara that it's not clear if a woman likes the Yavam or doesn't like the Yavam. And since it's not something that we could absolutely declare as a schus or it's a chayv, since it's not something that we could declare that way, if she didn't appoint the shliach, she did not appoint the shliach to pick up the get on our behalf, we don't accept it. Amalei Ravina Ravav, Hamzaka get lishta b'makom katata, where a husband and wife are not getting along, and somebody picks up the get for the wife without her permission. Mahu. Do we say, kiven disla katata badei, since they're not getting along, she's happy to get a get. Even though there's no shalom bias between this husband and wife, she still prefers to be married. Says the Gemara Tashma, Domresh Lakish, Tavla Mesa Tamdu. There's a rule that a woman would prefer to always be married, Bilamesa Armala, than living alone. Abayama, the Shumshma Gavra, even if somebody's husband is small, like an ant, she, if she's married to him, she feels pride and she's able to say, I'm a married woman. Papama, the naftsa gavra, even if her husband combs wool as a living, tikri basif above a tesif, she sits in the front of her home and says, I'm a married woman, even though her husband is not that significant. Ravasham, the kulsa gavra, even if her husband, there's a question on the yichus of a family, she still wants to be married, even if he won't even give her beans to cook. Tana, the kulan, and all these women who are so anxious to be married, why are they so anxious to be married if their husbands have all of these flaws and the husbands don't support them? Because what they do is, says the Gemara, mezano is v'toros b'baleim, because they want to be able to have illicit relationships, but they don't want that the children should be called mamzerim. They don't want to be identified as women who are adulterous. So like this, if they're married, and then even if they get pregnant, they say it's from their husband. So we had a question, if somebody's accepting a get to prevent, help the woman not to have yibum, sometimes she likes the yavam, sometimes she dislikes the yavam, and therefore he can't pick it up without her permission. But that if, explained the Rishonim already, this yavam is a meshumen, he went off the Derech Hashem, certainly she doesn't want to be attached to him, and there somebody could pick up a get for her even without her consent. And the Agos Matche says that there was such an episode in time of Rashi where a get was given on behalf of the woman without her consent. And Rashi says the get was 100% effective. The purpose of the get was to prevent her from having yibum with such a individual. Hanrolach, he shalom, hanrolach, he shalom, hanrolach, he shalom.